Bibles, we're going to read three sections of scripture this morning. I just want you to listen carefully to the words of the scriptures. We're going to begin in Psalms 2, verses 6 through 12. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye and judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. And now from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And from the letter to the Galatians, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Thanks be unto God for the reading and hearing of his precious and his eternal word. As you read these scriptures, they're majestic, they're just terrific in all that they have to do, and yet it makes you think about the Christmas story, and it's about a baby being born. There's an ancient hymn that we still sing today and rejoice in, and it says, what child is this who's laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? When you look down at the birth of Christ, it would have been like any other birth in a physical sense. It would have been born with water and with blood and with pain and all the things that go with bearing a child. And yet there was something about this child, something about this child that made shepherds come running out of the field declaring that they had heard angels speaking and singing on high. Something about this child that made wise men travel 1,000 miles nearly across the deserts and come to worship him and bring him gifts fit only for a king. There was something about this child that caused angels to come and speak to people and to give messages. And there was something about this child that was different than any other child that's been in the whole world. There's never been a birth exactly like this. There's never been a birth that was preceded by the things that was going on like this. You have to think what it must have been to experience the virgin birth. Mary was not a married woman. She had never been with a person. a man person. She was a virgin, and Mary gave birth to a baby. And what a wondrous, glorious thing that was, the virgin birth. And maybe that's what inspired the Gaither Vocal Band traveling down the road in a bus one day to come up with a song that you probably know, Mary, Did You Know? And you have to think what all went through her mind, what all she was thinking. And as she looked down the road, not being able to comprehend what went on in her own life and what was going on in her own life. And yet when we look at this child laying in the manger for a bed, we have to think about him. Who is this child? Who is this child that came to earth? Well, if you listen to the scriptures that I just read, you have to come to the conclusion, number one, that this child is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. God declares him to be his son. Now, you can speculate when a child is conceived, but few men know. The fact is, I don't know any man who would know the very instant that their child is conceived. Even the mother doesn't know. But when Jesus was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, somebody in heaven spoke, didn't they? And if you read from Psalms that I just read to you, what did he say? Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And I've always wondered, when the divine Godhead left the portals of glory, came down across the Milky Way into the womb of the Virgin Mary and caused her to conceive, it's a wonder there hadn't have been a sonic boom when God came through the universe. And he'd say, who came? God the Holy Ghost. That's who came. There are people who believe that God came down physically in a body and physically impregnated the Virgin Mary. That's not the way it happened. He said very clearly, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the Spirit of God will cause thee to conceive. And my friend, as you look at that, you have to believe that. So you come to the conclusion when you listen to the scriptures that he is the Son of God. But there's more. He is the Creator. You say, that baby laying in a barn in Bethlehem of Judea, that baby was the creator of everything in the universe. That's what it said. John chapter 1 said, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And it's talking about that baby. It's talking about that little fella that's just been born that was laying up there. So when you look at this, that he is the Son of God. He is the creator of all things. And yet, he has all of the attributes of God. Even though he's a baby boy, God could have sent his son into the world in any way, form, or fashion he chose. He could have sent him to any household, to any country, to any place, and created the circumstances for him to be born in. God had that choice. And yet God chose for his divine son to be born into this world in an ordinary birth of an ordinary girl. It's a little teenage girl, maybe 16 years old. And you say, he has all the attributes of God. Any attribute of God that belongs to God belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, is the Old Testament writer said, his name shall be called Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. Wow. Jesus said one day when he was teaching, he said, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. In school, I don't know why they insist on this. They insist on not teaching our kids the Bible. And then at the same time, they insist on teaching them about Greek mythology. and Roman mythology. And we talk about Zeus and Thor and all of the gods and goddesses of the pantheon that they had. We talk all about that all the time. And the whole thing about that and those gods is that man is here on earth and these gods come down to be part of what man's doing. They are thieves. That is a lie that Satan put in the world so that he could take away from the birth of the Son of God. But there's no way that Satan could even come close to doing that. In fact, is the prophet said, speaking of the Lord Jesus when he would come, said his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Wow. Wow. You see, no wonder Jesus would say then when Philip asked him, you're always talking about the Father. Why don't you show us the Father? And then we'll be satisfied. What was the answer to that? When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus Christ is the perfect manifestation of God in the world. Now, you can't see God sitting on the throne in heaven. No man can look on God and live. You would be destroyed. You cannot see God. You might in a vision, but you could not literally see God sitting on the throne in heaven, because the brightness of his glory would destroy you. You're a sinful person. You're a human being. But God, veiled in human flesh, came to this earth and lived among us and brought us the way and the plan of salvation. So when we look at who he is, if you believe the scripture, and I certainly do, I believe that all the attributes of God belong to Jesus Christ. What you say, well, he was the third person or the second person of the Godhead. But all of God that there is to be of God was in him. Colossians says what? It pleased God that what? In him should all, say the word all the fullness of the Godhead dwell bodily. Wow. Now, Jesus is the divine Son of God. But let me tell you something. Jesus is the Son of Mary. He is born of a woman. He had a belly button, just like everybody else does. He was attached to Mary by umbilicus and received his nourishment from her until he was born. And when he was born, he nursed at her breast, and he had to be taken care of just like any other baby had to be taken care of. And as he lived in this world, he was an extraordinary child. And you have only to read the account of him when he was 12 years old to believe that and to know that. But the wondrous, glorious truth is that as Jesus lived in this world, he had to learn and he had to experience growth. He had to experience life just as anyone else does. In every way that God could be God, Jesus was God. But let me tell you something. In every way that Jesus could be man, Jesus was man. In every way that he could be human, he was human. And you say, how can he be God and be human at the same time? Yeah, you better take that up with the man. Not with this dumb preacher. I only got about 6 inches between my ears. All I can say about God is what God says about himself. All I can know about God is what God tells me about himself. My philosophizing is worthless. My just coming across my things to try to get my thoughts together about God and writing down my philosophy, that's worthless. What I need to know about God, God tells me about himself. And he has told me right here in his book. So I look for it to see what he says. And he said he was tempted in all points like we are. Wow. How about that? Human in every way. Even to be subject to dying, even the death on the cross. Christ could be struck and bleed. Christ could be hit and bruised. In fact, as it says, he was bruised. Christ could be beat and become weak. Christ could die on a cross and did die on a cross. So he's just as human as I am human, and just as divine as God the Father on the throne in heaven is divine. He is the incarnation of the eternal God. Inexplainable, but wonderful. So when God sent his Son into the world, he didn't have to send him the way he did. He could have sent him full grown. They could have just opened up the pearly gates of heaven and rolled down the marble staircase to earth, and Jesus Christ could have put a crown on his head and a sword in his hand and walked down the Milky Way to the earth and stepped on board of Jerusalem, conquered the world full grown and taken over. But God did not choose to send him that way. He could have come that way. He could have come anyway. He could have made him the emperor of Rome. He could have made him the king of America. It didn't even exist then. He could have done anything. But God sent his son to be born of a woman. My brothers and sisters, you say, how could it be that he is divine and that he is human at the same time? Because God not came into flesh, God became. John 14, chapter 1, John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was God. And the Word what? Became flesh and dwelt among us. Wow. The living, holy God of heaven could be touched by human beings. Now, when he sent him into the world, surely God would have looked around for a nice house for him to live in. How many of you would like to do better things for your children than you had for yourself? Sure. You're not much of a parent at all if you don't think that way, are you? I certainly wanted my children to have better opportunities than I had. Nothing against my parents or my background or anything like that. That's just part of who we are. We want our children to feel better and have better than we had. So if we could choose a house for our child to be born in, what would we choose? Would we choose a Frank Lloyd Wright creation? Would we choose one, maybe a penthouse in New York? Would we choose a log house in Colorado? What would we choose if we could choose any house in the world for our child to be born in? Well, you say, well, what did God choose? What did God choose for his son to be born in? A barn. A barn. He chose nothing of great consequence in this world. Jesus Christ came quietly into the world in the midst of the night. And were it not for angels singing and stars appearing and everything like that, no one would have known the next morning anything about him coming except Mary and Joseph and the cow and the donkey that was in the shed. No one would have known. But he came into a barn. And you say, well, what kind of house was he raised in? Well, he was raised in a typical house of first century Palestine. He was not raised in the palace of the Pharaoh. He was not raised in the palace of the Herod. He was not raised in the palace of the Caesar. He was not raised in the palace of the great men of the earth. He was born in a barn because his parents were traveling. And he lived in a typical house in Nazareth. None of you would live in the house Christ lived in when he grew up. None of you. You know why? The law wouldn't allow it. They didn't have a floor in the house. They had a packed earth floor. They didn't have a stove. By the way, they didn't have any electricity. They didn't have a stove. It had not been invented yet. They had a fireplace in the middle. They had an oven outside. You say, well, what kind of plumbing did they have? None. None. There was not one drip of water in that house unless you carried it in a bucket. There was not anything in that house that was convenient. You say, well, what kind of lighting did they have? Little bowl-like things with a wick in it, full of oil, and they burnt the oil, usually shaped almost like a teapot, with this pot being the vessel, and out here there's a little hole in a spout, and that's where they lit the oil and burnt the oil. And it was not oil like you would get today, but it was olive oil from the trees. That's all they had. And you say, well, how private was it? That was real private. Had one big room. Mom and Papa and all the kids and everybody slept in that one big room. They cooked their meals in that one big room. They bathed in that one big room. They did everything there. Sometimes they had a curtain they stretched for privacy, but that would have been the house he lived in. And yet, God sent his son into that world, into that house. He could have sent him to Rome. He could have sent him to Alexandria, Egypt. He could have sent him to Jerusalem. He could have sent him to so many places to live. But he sent him to Nazareth. He sent him to the most out of way. The people in Israel looked down on Nazareth. The people in the country he lived in. And the country he lived in was a no place going, no place country. It was a country that everybody in the world looked down on. It's just full of Jews, just full of them hateful people over there that's always causing trouble. And everybody in the world looked down on him, but he was there. And you say, well, surely he sent him to the house of the richest man in Nazareth. Surely he sent him to the house of maybe a centurion, maybe a soldier that was stationed there. No, my friend, he did not. He sent him to the house of a carpenter. And he became a carpenter's son. And he lived with Joseph and Mary and his siblings. By the way, he had brothers and sisters. He was the oldest, but he had brothers and sisters. He was half brothers and sisters. And he became the carpenter's son. And I'm persuaded, took up the trade himself. He didn't start preaching until he was 30 years old. So he took up the trade himself. And one place in the scripture, it lists Jesus coming and said, the carpenter has come. The carpenter has come. Jesus worked with his hands. You want to know what Jesus looked like? He looked like any other person of that day and time. He was a lot darker than most of you here other than Brother Tack. He was a lot darker than anyone here. And you say, how come? Because he was a Palestinian Jew of the first century. And because as a carpenter, he was not a cabinet maker, folks. He was a carpenter. He was probably built pretty good. They had to dig in the ground. They had to quarry stones and lay them for foundations. They had to cut down trees and hew them and lay them overhead for the joists. They had to mat mud and reeds together to make a roof. It was dry country, wasn't like living here. And they lived in a house like that. And he built houses like that. And building those houses required him to be in the sun and in the wind and in the rain. And it required him to use his muscles. Jesus had a hard life, as we would gauge life today. And yet, it was in that world that God sent his son. God sent his son to live in a carpenter's house, in a poor village, in a poor country, on the backside of no place. God sent his son, not as a full-grown man, but as a little baby, born of a virgin. You see, God made that choice on purpose. Let me ask you this. Would you send your son to that place? Would you send your child to a place that had less than what you had, that didn't begin to have as much as you have? Would you send your child to a world that was going to reject him and ultimately crucify him? Would you let him do that? I would do everything I could to protect my child from it, wouldn't you? I would... energize every muscle I had to protect my child from going through this thing. And yet, because God loved us so much, He sent His Son, born of a woman, to be a human being. You see, my friend, God put it all on the line. Do you realize? Now, I know somebody's going to say, now, Jesus couldn't have failed. Well, I don't want to think that either, but I have to tell you this. If He was tempted in all points like I am, could He have said no? If He's tempted in all points like I am, could He have failed? I can fail. The fact is, I do fail. I am failing physically. But we fail, don't we? And Christ had to overcome that. Christ had to rise above that. And God put His divine Godhead into a frail human body. You say, well, surely God chose the most illustrious, strong, genetically line of people to bring His Son into. You need to, I know when you read the Bible, I know what you do. You get to those chapters that says, and so-and-so begets so-and-so, and so-and-so begets so-and-so, and so-and-so begets so-and-so. And you say, where's the next verse start? Where's the next chapter start? And you miss that. Don't miss the begets. They are terribly important. If you look at the family tree of Jesus Christ, it'll make your family look like saints. There are women listed in His genealogy. There's Mother Eve, and she failed terribly, didn't she? But then there's Bathsheba. Oh, yes. Somebody's wife had committed adultery with somebody else and had a baby out of wedlock. Yeah, that was her. And then there's Tamar. She seduced her father-in-law and had a baby by her father-in-law, an incestuous relationship. Wow. You say, really? Yeah. And then, of course, there is the lady who lived on the wall in Jericho. Rahab. Rahab. Oh, the seamstress. Oh, Rahab the cook. Rahab the nursemaid. No, Rahab the harlot. Rahab the harlot. Those are the people that are in Jesus Christ's genealogy. That's the gene pool that Mary contributed to the physical body of Jesus Christ. God put it all on the line when He put the divine Godhead into a human being as frail as this right here, as frail as me, as frail as you, as frail as your family tree. And you can look through His family tree, and there are horrible people in His genealogy. But guess what? He overcame it all. I confess that Jesus Christ, though tempted in all points like we are, succeeded in overcoming every bit of it, even till the death when He died on the cross. Amen? Amen. What child is this? What child is this? He is the Creator of all things. He is the God of the universe that created everything that there is to be created. What child is this? He is God in human flesh. What child is this? He is the Son of Man. He is the child of Mary. He is the brother of all other human beings that are on the face of this earth in a creative sense. What child is this? He's a carpenter's son. He's a child born in a barn. He's a child who becomes a carpenter. He's a child who knows what it is to be a servant. What child is this? He's the perfect manifestation of the eternal God. And when He came, He manifested what? He did not come with lightning bolts. He did not come with thunderclaps. He did not come with earthquakes and smoke and fire and vapor and all of that. He did not come with the earth opening up and swallowing people up. But he came a little baby. And he came in love. Why did God do this? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. What child is this? He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my King. He's my deliverer. He's all I need to be saved and make it to heaven. Amen. Father, I thank you so much today that we have the opportunity to share in the blessings of this Advent season. I thank you, Father, that we have the blessings of being able to share in the knowledge of the eternal and holy God. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit and your holy grace and your holy love will go with us to keep us and sanctify us. And Father, answer the prayers of your people. Move upon the souls that are here today. Open our hearts, Father, that we may receive the sweet blessings of God. Father, these favors and blessings we do humbly ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.